Hallelujah. If you got your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 22. And we're going to go there again. We've been talking about the blood covenant. Anybody gotten anything so far out of the blood covenant? That we are in a covenant that God struck between the Father and the Son, and we enter into it when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we get washed in it, right? And we said that the blood of Jesus, come on, His DNA, His heavenly DNA, is transferred to us because of the mixing of the blood. That's so good. His ability became my ability. His provision became my provision. His peace became my peace because I'm in covenant with Him. Amen? And it's amazing because, like we said, that part of the covenant ritual in every major people group that's in the world, blood covenant's a big deal. And what happens is that you become identified with the person that you're in covenant with. And so dependent upon the power or the might of the person that you're in covenant with determines how it affects everybody around you. Like if you're with the big kahuna chief and an opposing tribe comes against you and they see that you're in covenant with this chief, they'll back down because they know who you're in covenant with. You're in covenant with Almighty God. Let me say that again. You're in covenant with Almighty God. Now, I want to read this. We're going to read a little bit more of it because we're going to do communion this morning. But we call it communion, or when I was growing up in the Catholic Church, it was Holy Communion. In fact, anybody Catholic in here? Anybody? Wow. Usually, yeah, former. Usually get a few that are former. And do you remember your first communion? In your first communion, you know, little girls are in their white dresses and the boys are in slacks and a white, this is how it used to be when I'm really old, so it was a long time ago. But, you know, the first communion was a big deal. A huge deal. You had to be of a certain age. But in the Catholic Church, they call it Holy Communion. Why am I bringing that up? Because there was a reverence, in fact, their whole liturgy, their whole church service is around the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And sometimes I think that it's not that we trivialize it, but it's like, Lord, are we really putting the reverence behind the covenant meal? And so let's read this and then we'll comment some more. Y'all good? All good. In Luke chapter 22, and let's start in verse 14 today. I'm getting there. He said, and when the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said to them, with fervent desire, I've desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. I like that. He said, with fervent desire. He knew what was coming up. He knew what he was with, but he said, I've been anticipating this. This is a period of anticipation that I am in right now because of what we're about to do. Now, I'm convinced that none of the disciples understood the urgency or the significance of what is about to happen. But I want us to go back there today, even in our minds, and think about Jesus coming to you, walking into this room. He says, I have fervently desired to be with you here this morning in Port Orchard at the Seventh Day Adventist Church on a Sunday. Can anybody see that? Can anybody imagine that? That's so good. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Jesus was about to fulfill the old covenant. He was about to go to the cross and become your sacrifice and become your Passover lamb. Jesus was about to do this. And he said, I'm no longer going to eat it with you until this is fulfilled. See, oftentimes we try to bring the Old Testament into the New Testament, and the reality is, watch this, the Old Testament has great significance to us, and it is part of who we are, and it is the Bible, right? There's no question about that. But I like this. It says, this saying, I just love this saying. It says, the New Covenant in the Old Covenant is contained. But the Old Covenant in the New Covenant is explained. In other words, all the types, all the shadows, everything that was going on, it all pointed to Jesus. And when it pointed to Jesus, Jesus is saying here, it's fulfilled. What does that mean? It's done, son. It's done. It's complete. In other words, you don't have to go back and do some of the things that were necessary because I am fulfilling it now. That's going to ring true in a few minutes in what we're going to say. Watch this now. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread and he gave thanks and broke it and he gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, after he took the cup, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of the betrayer is with me. And truly the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to him by whom he is betrayed. Now that was talking about Judas, but I think also it's talked about all those who reject the Holy Spirit in receiving Jesus. But again, in verse 20, he said, well, let's go over that again, or verse 20. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which I shed for you. In other words, my Father and I have come into this covenant that if I came to earth and if I lived as a man, if I operated as a man and I was without sin when I went to the cross and I went to the cross, I wouldn't be going to the cross for me, but as the high priest for those who are in me. That's you and me. He said, this is the covenant that's in my blood. And again, that blood covenant is irrevocable. It'll never be taken back. It can always be applied. And the way that we apply it, right, first of all, is by belief. And belief and faith is described like this. You shall believe in your heart and say with your mouth. It's two part. I believe in my heart, so therefore I say with my mouth. So when Jesus is talking here, and he said, whenever you do it in remembrance of me. So we're taking the communion today. We're going to believe in our hearts, but we're also going to say with our mouth some things. Yeah. Right? He's so good. So I want to go through some things this morning, but look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. God is so faithful. He's so good to us. And so the church at Corinth was an incredible church. God had done many mighty things through it, and you know, they were kind of one of those churches that was wild. There was spiritual gifts going all over the place. And Paul said, man, none of you lack in the spiritual gifts, but there's some other things that we need to deal with. And they were carnal with their spirituality. Right? So listen to what he says here in verse 17. He says, "Now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for better, but for the worse." And he's going to be talking about communion, about eating bread together and having fellowship together. He says, "First of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it." You know, it's hard to be a Christian without divisions. Why? Because there's so many of us. You believe this. Well, you believe that. Well, I don't believe that. Well, you believe that. So there can be division among us. But watch this. I believe that there can be disagreement and unity at the same time.
Yes.
Right? But here he's saying there's divisions among you and it's not right. It's not good. Why? Again, remember Jesus said, "This is my body," when he's talking about the bread. "This is my body." Did you know that you're called the body of Christ? We're called the body of Christ. And that means that every one of us are in his body.
Yes.
And again, we've talked about this before, but you know, if my thumb hurts, the rest of my body becomes very attentive to my thumb. My other hand does say, "Well, you worthless thing. How come you got in the way of that hammer? You idiot." But yet, isn't that what we do? In the news today, there's some great stuff. Pastors that are falling and things that are going on. And it's devastating and it's hurtful. And you just, you know, but they're still our brothers. When somebody falls, they're still our sister.
Yes.
And we shouldn't be, "Well, bless God, you know, they're getting what they deserve." Aren't you glad you're not getting what you deserve?
Amen.
Right? Yes. Aren't you glad? Now, I'm not saying that they shouldn't be accountable for their actions. Absolutely. But the reality is they're still part of my body. Because I'm a part of his body. So what should our reaction be? Well, first of all, be careful what comes out of your mouth toward them. And then second of all, pray for them. If you were in a position to be there for them spiritually, awesome, but most of us aren't. We're talking about communion. So we come together like we're here today. There may be some people that you don't like as well as others. There may even be some people in the body of Christ who rub you the wrong way. I'm not looking at anybody in particular, right? But there may be somebody that just rubs you the wrong way. It's important for our heart to go, mm-mm-mm-mm. And I've found, right, this is what I've found, that some of the people that rub me the wrong way are actually instruments of God trying to rub me to sharpen the iron that God is trying to produce in me. So again, when I'm talking about communion, I'm talking about this morning, I'm talking about our body and the body of Christ in general. That we need to be at a place where, Lord, I'm not excusing anybody's behavior, I'm not doing any of that, but Lord, I want to be unified in you with the people that you send me to. Hallelujah. Verse 19. "For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it's not to eat the Lord's Supper." What a statement. You guys come together and it's in the pretense of having the Lord's Supper, but because of disunity, you're really not. What am I doing this morning? I'm preparing us to have the right heart to be partakers of his body and his blood. Verse 21 says, "For in eating, each one has his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry, another is drunk, what, do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you not despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. This was a big deal to the Apostle Paul. This was a church that he birthed. This was a church that he was responsible for. This was a church that he saw people get saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, healed, delivered, set free. This is his body. This is, and he said, man, I'm not proud of you right now. But I'm going to straighten it out. Right? We're going to straighten it out. Let's go on. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. Think about that. This is a Gentile church. This is not necessarily a Jewish church, although there were some Jews in the church. But watch this. It said, I received this from the Lord and I delivered it to you. In other words, it's not just a Jewish thing. It's a body of Christ thing.
Right.
And I received it. And I love this. He said, I received it of the Lord. It didn't say I received it from Peter. In his relationship with God and his visitations from God, Jesus told him about this. And he went back to that, what we read in Luke chapter 22. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So when we take the elements this morning, we're not going to take them just as, well, it's Communion Sunday, so we'll get this done. And oftentimes, and I understand a pastor's in the middle of a service, and they say, well, it's Communion Sunday, so we'll take 5 minutes at the end, pass out the elements, and be done with it, right? I get that, and that there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. But this morning, I just want to go deeper.
Amen.
In light of the new covenant, in the light of the fact that a blood covenant has been bought for you and me, and all of those who recognized their sin and knew that they were without hope, without God, because none of us could be good enough for Him, came to the place where I need a Savior. And that Savior is only identified through the blood that was accepted in heaven. Right? That's so good. That's so good. Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After the In the same manner, after he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it, remember me. We're going to talk about that a little bit more in detail, but I want you to listen to what he says here. For as often as you eat and drink this bread and drink this cup, you will proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. What does that mean? That means Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again.
Yes.
And until he comes back, that's your and my message to the world. It's first the message to ourselves, for God to reveal that to ourselves, and then to the world. Right? And again, if we think about, well, yeah, I know, Jesus died, Jesus buried, Jesus rose again. If that becomes ordinary to us, if that just becomes just like another thing, yeah, we know. No. You don't understand or haven't been impacted enough by the significance of what happened, because that's the very thing that solidified the blood covenant on your behalf and on my behalf and upon all the world who will receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Did you know that you were called to be a minister of the new covenant?
Yes.
A minister of the new covenant. What does that mean? That you're supposed to have a servant's heart toward people in talking to them about the new covenant. See, he said, also he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he said that you have become an ambassador. Ambassador of what? Of the reconciliation that happened because of the cross. Is that good? Now that says a lot to me. Part of me, when I first got saved, was like, oh my God, you mean I've got to talk to somebody? Right? I mean, I don't want to do that. What if they say this? What if they do that? But here's the reality. When I'm standing as an ambassador, I'm not standing on my own authority.
Nope.
I'm not even standing with my own words. I'm standing with the words and the authority of the person who sent me. So what do I believe? I believe that the Holy Spirit in me and in you can give you the message of reconciliation to the world. And this is all talking about this particular verse. Whoever eats this bread or drinks of this cup, right? That's us. But watch, he goes on to say, now watch this. Talking to believers now. Eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner may be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. So let a man or woman, that's mankind, so let him examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and of the drink in the cup. He who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks to the judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home. But when you come together for judgment, let the rest, I will set in order when I come. Watch here. I'm not trying to condemn anyone, but I'm trying to put everybody in the same place. So when we take communion, it's very important for us to examine ourselves. And there's twofold that I want to go down, two lines that I want to go down. The first is, Lord, do I have aught against anybody? Let me just put it to you in a more practical way. When I see that person's face, does it put a knot in my gut?
That's good.
Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't have discernment, for there are some people that the Lord will put a check in your spirit because they're saying one thing, but there's something else going on behind the scenes.
Right.
That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about, oh God, you know what they did to me. I prayed, Holy Spirit, you should have got him by now. You should have got her by now. You know what they did to me. You know how wrong they were. You know, blah, 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 blah. And here's what I'm saying. That is what we have to judge ourselves by. And you have to understand that none of us are qualified to judge the intent of another person's heart. But he is. And we can trust that he's able to get through to them. And here's another thing. I truly believe that if you really understood what hell was, you would never want anybody to go there. Even those ones the enemy is trying to put in your heart to keep you from being in unity with God and with others. Right? So it's like, no, Lord, no, Lord, no, Lord. And again, I just want to be clear that just because we forgive and walk in love with somebody doesn't necessarily mean that we trust them. I heard this, and it was like, forgiveness can be in an instant, but healing and trust may take some time. All right? So that's not what I'm talking about, but I'm talking about your heart condition. Yes, that son that has ripped me off several times because of his drug addiction. Lord, I forgive him, and Lord, I want him to be blessed. I want him to be turned around. But that doesn't necessarily say that I'm going to give him the keys to my new car.
Right. Yep.
You see what I'm saying? But my heart is, I want his deliverance. I'm still believing the best for him. Right? So that's one side of examining your heart. But I want to talk about another side when we're remembering the covenant. Remember, said Jesus said, whenever you do this, remember me. Go to, we're going to skip Acts 2. Let's go to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. This is an interesting story, and I love it. In Acts chapter 16, and we're going to go to start in verse 25. And this is the story where Paul and Silas were in jail, and they'd been beaten and you know, held in stocks down in the prison of prisons. And I don't want to go into that too much, but listen to this. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. Can you just think of the chaos? All these prisoners, and they're all shackled. All of a sudden they're all loose. Woo, party time, right? But listen to this. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prisoners' doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew the sword, was about to kill himself. Why? Because he was responsible for keeping them in prison. And he knew that he had not done his duty, so his honor was... And so it's kind of like, you know, the kamikaze type of thing. I'm just going to end this for me. But Paul called out with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are here." They couldn't, it was dark in there, so they couldn't see all of the prisoners. So he was around, but they could see him. He said, "Don't do yourself any harm. We're all here." Then he called for a light and ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Sirs, what must I do to be saved? I haven't seen it on a regular basis, but I'm waiting for the day where God's glory is so strong that people come and like I've heard in testimonies, they run to the altar and just kneel down. "I need Jesus." But because of the demonstration of the glory of God in that place, they ran and they say, "What must I do to be saved?" And the word "saved" here is sozo in the Greek. And sozo doesn't just mean what we typically refer to it as. Saved means I'm no longer going to hell, but I'm going to heaven. In fact, this word sozo means deliverance. It means healing. It means needs being met. In other words, I am desperate for whatever power you have. This prison guard is saying, "I need sozo."
Come on.
But Paul had the message of reconciliation, that God had already reconciled everything to himself through Jesus Christ. So he had the message of sozo. What must I do to be saved? Listen to this. This is so good. What must I do to be saved? So they said, now listen to this. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved and your household." Come on, it can't be that easy. It can't be that easy. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of what I've done. Do this in remembrance of the blood covenant." What do you need to do? Believe. on the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that we receive from God is because of His grace. And He's given it to us freely. And what do we need to do? We need to believe. We simply need to believe. We simply need to believe. Let me say that again. We simply need to believe. Now watch this. Believing is nothing more than saying, I heard the promise, and so I'm going to act like it's true. Right? What do we need to be saved? What do we need to be delivered? What do we need to be healed? What do we need to have peace? What do we need to have joy? Remember Jesus. Yeah. Remember the covenant that He struck. And when you remember the covenant, just believe that it applies to you. We're not going to turn there, but the story of the man who came and his daughter was sick and dying and all of that. And he said, come with me, Jesus, to the house. And they're walking to the house and all of a sudden the woman with the issue of blood comes and disrupts their walk. I can imagine a dad is just going, come on, come on, come on, come on. Right. And Jesus said, listen, don't worry about that. Only believe. Only believe. And in another instance, it's like a man came to him about a child in another city and said, Jesus, just say the word and my daughter will be healed. And once he said it, said the man walked away. Why? Because he had received it. He simply believed it. So, Jesus, you said it. I got it. That sounds really easy, doesn't it? But not when pain is racking your body. Not when guilt is trying to torment you. Not when shame is overtaking you. Not when everybody's screaming in your head that you're not enough. But in taking communion this morning, it's like, Lord, remember. Jesus is saying, not you, but me. Remember me. So good. So good. Listen to this. In the New Testament, talking about the discourse of Jesus, sozo is used 14 times for deliverance from demons and diseases. What must I do to be saved? What must I do to be delivered? What must I do? Believe. 20 times, rescued, it refers to rescue of physical life from destruction. How many have ever prayed this prayer from your heart? Help! Right? This is overwhelming. Help! Jesus is saying, just believe. Go back to my covenant. Just believe. Just believe. Okay, Lord, you said you'd help. You're going to help. You're going to help. You're going to help. You're going to help. How many are able to take Jesus at His word? The covenant that we're saying is come back to remember that it's all about what I've done for you. So 20 times it's physical health. And then 20 times it's spiritual salvation that He's talking about. Talking about being freed from our sins. So when we remember Him, we're to remember, and Lord, I need to examine my heart. You've done everything for me. Some of the most difficult verses in the Scripture for me are these two. Love one another even as I've loved you. It'd be one thing for me to say, love one another. Cool. But He puts the standard on it, even as I've loved you. But the only way we can do that is because we're in Him. And if we'll listen to Him, He'll show us how to love one another. Here's another one. Forgive one another, it says in Ephesians, even as God in Christ forgave you. Yeah. I don't think Jesus is up in heaven going, "Ooh, Bruce? Oh my God, do you know what he did when he was 12? Right? No, he's not. He's going, "The blood is enough. And the blood that I shed for you, every time you take of the communion cup, every time you take of the bread and the juice or the wine, I want you to remember that I did this for you. I paid the price for your salvation." Hallelujah. We've got about 2 minutes, so when I get the kids back in, it'll be great. I want to just a couple of verses and then we'll take communion. But go with me to Psalms. Go to the back to the book of Psalms. And we're going to start out in Psalm 18. Psalm 18 and verse 3. Hallelujah. Is that coming up, Josh? There we go. "I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from all of my enemies." I will. Have you? Jesus said, "Remember me. Remember everything that I've done." When I call upon the name of the Lord, when I call for help, He's there to sozo me. To deliver me, to heal me, to set me free, to redeem my life from destruction. So this morning we're going to call upon the name of the Lord. And we shall be touched by His Spirit. Go to Psalm 34:6. 34:6. Hallelujah. "This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles." This poor man, you and I, who were without hope, without God in the world that we're living in, this poor man cried out and said, "Jesus, I need a Savior." And it said, He saved him. Jesus, watch this, this is so cool. Jesus isn't saving you. Let me say that again. He's not saving you. He's already saved you. He's not healing you. He's already healed you. He's not providing for you. He's already provided for you. He's not meeting your needs from the standpoint of He's doing something to get that done. He's already done it. I cried out to the Lord, man, and the Lord heard me. And when He heard me, He saved me. Mm-mm-mm. I can tell you this is true in my life. The last one, Psalm 80 and verse 7. Psalm 80 and verse 7. Hallelujah. "Restore us, O God of hosts. Cause Your face to shine upon us. And we shall," everybody say shall, "be saved." We shall be saved. We shall be delivered. We shall be healed. We shall be provided for. We shall have peace. We shall have joy. When you do this, do it in remembrance of me and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I who promised is faithful, and that faithfulness applies to you, and you shall be saved. You shall have peace. You shall have joy. Come on. Did y'all get anything this morning? Hallelujah. We're going to take the cup in just a moment. So if the parents could help their children with getting the dispensers open. And if anybody needs help with that, sometimes my fingers don't work right. I need help getting these things open. Yeah, my daughter, she knows me. She already did it. She takes care of me. Now watch this. So we're taking this bread. This is symbolic of the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that for a minute. And His body was broken for you. So when you take this, again, we're going to examine our heart for just a second before we do that. But when we take this, we're receiving into ourselves everything that Jesus did when He went to the cross. It says, by His stripes we were healed. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we were healed. So, Father, before we do this, before we receive of Your offering, we just want to take a moment. We don't want to, you know, conjure things up, Lord, but if there's something in our heart that we need to deal with, we just ask You to bring that to our hearts right here, right now. And then, Lord, as You do that, we're simply going to ask You to forgive us. And, Lord, we forgive all of those who've ever done anything to us. We just repent of our attitudes. We repent of our hard hearts. We repent. Because, Lord, we want Your heart toward us to have express lane privilege. So, Lord, we just thank You right now in the name of Jesus. We thank You for Your body. We thank You that it was broken for us. But as we take this bread and we eat it, we remember that Jesus, You are our Lord. You paid the price for our salvation. And we deliver our goodness and our gratitude towards You right now in Jesus' name. Go ahead and take and eat. It says in verse 25, this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. So, Lord Jesus, as we take this, we want to remember that Your blood was enough to cleanse our consciences of every evil act that we've ever done. Your blood was enough to pay the price for all of our sin, all of our shortcomings. There is no shame in You, Lord. So as we take this cup and drink of it, we are saying goodbye to shame. We're saying goodbye to guilt. We're saying that we are right with You because of the work that You did. And we want to give You praise for that. Go ahead and take it. Thank You, Lord. Come on, just thank Him for a minute. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for Your love. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You that You love me. Thank You that You saved me. Even if I've been away from You, Lord, thank You for coming back. Thank You for not holding my sin against me. Thank You that You love me just the way I am, that I don't have to change a thing for You to come to me and help me. So, Lord, I just want to give You the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. If you're here this morning or watching online and have never made Jesus the Lord of your life, that's the first step. He'll come to you. He'll put His heart in you. He'll reveal Himself to you. But your step is, I know that I need a Savior. I know that my life isn't right. I know that if I die today, I don't know whether I go to heaven or hell. I may be in a position, I don't know, God, if You're even real. If you're watching and that's your viewpoint, ask Him. Be bold about it, but be truthful in your heart. God, show me Yourself. I know from personal experience, He will. Amen. He will. But if you're here or you're at home, just bow your head and just say, Jesus, I need a Savior. I believe that You're it. So I confess You as my Lord. And I believe, Father, that You raised Him from the dead. And Lord, those are the conditions that I must meet to be saved. So thank You, Lord, for touching me. Thank You for saving me. Thank You for being with me. And Lord, help me from this moment on to live for you while I'm here on the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, 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 amen. If we'd have the worship team come on.